Fairy Queen by Michelle M. Pillow.
Read by Tilly Hooper.
Chapter 1. Prologue. Silver Palace of the Fairies. Kingdom of Fea. Immortal Realm. 1407 AD. It was ill-advised to incur the wrath of a fairy, but it was most foolish to do so of a fairy queen. And if that wrath came from a disappointed heart, then all would have to pay the price. Queen Tanya of the fairies felt herself slipping into the black abyss that had become her world. Her heart was broken, and each day a small piece of it fell away into darkness. Fairies were not meant for darkness. They were meant to see only pretty things, to experience good and light. Tanya, by her very nature, wasn't equipped to deal with the shadows of unpleasant emotions. She didn't understand them. Many reasons were speculated to be the cause of the change in her. The most obvious was the war that raged outside the silver walls of her palace. It was a war fought between the blessed kingdom of Teguen and the unblessed kingdom of Valdis. But more poignantly, it was a war fought between two brothers, unblessed King Merrick and blessed King Ian. Merrick had once been destined for the Teguen throne, but mysterious events had brought him to rule Valdis instead. Some claimed Merrick resented his brother for taking the kingdom that should have been his and, out of spite, had stolen away one of King Ian's blessed wards from the mortal realm. That human, Lady Juliana, was now Merrick's queen, but she was merely an excuse, not the full reason for the war. Being a fairy, Tanya hated war and the destruction it brought to the land. But as a lesser queen, she had no say in wars. If the higher King Ian called her to join in battle, she would be compelled to do so. Luckily, the elves never called the fairies for such things. Fairies were useless in battle. Light fairies, her fairies, believed in love and happy endings. They could only exist on good and pleasant thoughts, and their existence helped to balance the natural magic of both realms. The fairies woke the land after a harsh winter and tucked it in with the fall. Their magic gave the delicate flower strength to grow in the hard, impossible ground. It wasn't the war that wrung all pleasure from her heart, but the event was tied to what had. When Merrick took Juliana, the noble woman's brothers had come to the immortal realm to rescue her. There was one brother in particular, Hugh, Earl of Bellamere. He was valiant for a human, brave and strong, bold and decisive, if not a wee bit irritatingly set in his ways. The story of Merrick kidnapping Juliana against all odds, against the workings of his very nature as the unblessed king, had captured the attention of her fairy court. Tanya had wanted to be a part of that story, to be known as the queen who helped bring the lovers together. And she did, purposefully shoving Juliana through a portal to Merrick's bedchambers. Juliana had come to Fea with Hugh, their brother Sir Thomas, and Sir Nicholas, the son of Juliana's dead fiancé. Tanya had only meant to detain Lord Bellamere and his traveling companions so that King Merrick would have time to pursue his lover without their interference. However, in doing so, the fairy queen had fallen in love with the mortal Earl, and Lord Bellamere had fallen in love with her. Or so she had thought. His words were as clear as the day he'd said them.
"First, I'll rescue my sister. Then I'll be back to settle with you."
She waited as he rode off to do battle on the side of the blessed army to win back his sister. The battle ended. Hugh survived. Juliana chose to be the unblessed queen and was safe for the time being. But the Earl never came back to keep his promise to her. Nay, he went back to his home in the mortal realm, his beloved Bellamere. Tanya sat in the center of a round chamber with her legs crossed, waiting just like she had done for over a year. As in the rest of her palace, the walls were carved with intricate silver designs, decorated with the ancient symbols of her people, concentrating all the powers of the fairies. Positioned on a stone island in the middle of a round divination pool near the water's edge, she contemplated Hugh's fate. Unfisting her hand, she peered down at the two strands of hair which she carried always on her person. They were dark, sinfully so against her paler skin.